This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is W. Dale Warren from the University of Arkansas. And you are here with me at the – first of all, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
You're here in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio because this is the time of the semester, just before finals for students, where the final symphony and wind band concerts take place.
You got it. We're hitting the home stretch finally.
But it strikes me that you don't even – your year is so compact, your semester is so compact, you don't really think about the home stretch.
Well, I mean, certainly not, because you're right. The schedule is intense from here till commencement in the spring even. And then the summer programs are, you know, week to week. So we don't really ever stop. That's true.
But on Monday night, November 19th, the final concert of the semester.
That is correct. You're going to get both the symphonic band and the wind symphony on stage the same evening. You're even going to get those two groups combined for a number.
Right, and we have something that had originally been scheduled earlier in the year, but then you kind of did some adaptation, right?
Well, we started on the Wind and the Lion for the first concert at midterm, and that's one of the most epic movies, if you know that film at all. And it just didn't work with the wind ensemble, you know, one on a part. And we needed more sound. We needed more energy and more intensity. So, you know, we came up with the idea, hey, put both groups together. They rehearse at the same time, just in different spaces. And now on Fridays, we have what the students have dubbed Mega Band. And Mega Band is going to play Wind and the Lion. So we're going to have 90-plus musicians on the stage. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Well, before we talk about that, the evening on the 19th, we'll start with a symphonic band.
Gustav Holst, yeah. Second Suite for Military Band in F, which is one of our major staples. Second major piece that Holst wrote for the wind band, and of course it came out 2 years after the E flat, which was 1909. This one in 11, but it didn't get played till 22, so nobody even knew about it for about 11 years after he wrote it. But the coolest thing about it and between it and the First Suite is the First Suite is all original music by Holst. In the Second Suite, only the first two measures are written by Holst, and the rest of it is basically English or British or UK folk songs.
The third movement, Song of the Blacksmith, you hear the blacksmith in there.
Oh, absolutely. The anvil is very right. present because the percussionist that plays the anvil is the blacksmith because he's using a big blacksmith hammer. I mean, there's no sparks and fire,
right.
But everything else is very authentic. It's just like you were in the blacksmith shop back in that time period where you're getting your horse's shoe worked on.
And so that's beginning. I should say, it starts with Holst. This is an all-star composer.
Oh, absolutely.
That you have. I mean, Brahms and,
sure.
and Copland.
I mean, he's one of England's finest, without question. But, I mean, you know, he wrote The Planets, and that's what he's right. the most noted for. But he has a ton of great wind band repertoire, as well as orchestral, piano, vocal. I mean, he wrote for all genres.
Then you have Brahms.
Then we have Brahms. It's hard to beat Brahms. You know, he's one of the three German Bs, you know, Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms. And he wrote the German Requiem in German, not in traditional Latin, which was very unique for its day. And then Barbara Buhlmann extracted the opening called Blessed Are They That Mourn. Well, the text is Blessed Are They That Mourn. And it's just a stunning remembrance of one that is no longer with you.
On stage for that performance is Michael Moon, who's the graduate conductor.
He's one of four.
Right. What do you tell a graduate conductor? I mean, do you remember back when you were a graduate
well,
conductor?
Well, sure. It was only, you know, 100 years ago. But, I mean, Michael's in his second year, and he's one of our stars. He's a rock star. You don't have to tell Michael a lot. Michael's got an IQ of a million. Mm-hmm. He's a hard worker. He can't say no to anybody. That's his problem, if he has one. But, you know, he's very sensitive. He gets it. And this piece for him is a beautiful fit because he's a very lovely, eloquent, expressive conductor, and that's what this piece needs.
Then, intermission, and then comes The Wind and the Lion. Jerry Goldsmith, who's an Oscar winner, he won an Oscar for The Omen.
He did.
But he was nominated for this score, I believe.
That's correct. Yes. That's very good.
And this is sweeping.
You always blow me away with everything you know. Well, it is an epic. I mean, it's panoramic. It's Montana. Oh, it's Morocco, of course. It's Northern Africa, set in in the early 1900s. But it's when I saw the film, I was a senior in high school. It came out in 1975. That's my senior year. And I couldn't get over the cinematography. And I didn't even know what that word was then. But, you know, there's no CG then.
Right.
It's all real. Horses are running full tilt.
Right.
They're falling down, throwing their riders. I mean, it's the epicness of the desert and, you know, the Atlantic Ocean and the Aborian Sea, I guess, it's on the other side there. Mm-hmm. And so it's – I mean, every scene is just – a stunner. Your jaw drops, go, I got to go there. I've got to go see this place. This can't be for real. But the music is so exciting and so romantic and so heart-wrenching. I mean, you want those tribesmen to get their land back from the British. I mean, you know, you're pulling for them. So it's a very emotional movie score, and the students are really getting into it.
After that, oboes. Oboes kind of the instrument that's going to take us through the rest of the show. You concerto for two oboes and band. You have Cheryl and Teresa.
Right. Well, it's oboe mania on campus. You know, November has been oboe mania month now for a long time. So we thought, well, why not just do the whole thing oboe? And, you know, Bob Mueller's doing oboe. It's his guest artist on the USO concert coming up. So it's an oboe fest. There's no question. But Cheryl's in town for oboe
from
mania.
From Oregon.
Right, from Oregon. And, you know, she's a world-class player. And so we thought, well, we've got these oboes in town. Why not use them? So I didn't even know the Albinoni. I started talking to Tess Elaplane about what would be appropriate for, oboes and wind band. And she came up with the Albinoni, and I go, you know, he's pre-Bach. You know, I mean, he's 14 years older than Bach, but it sounds like Bach. I mean, you would swear Bach wrote it, and it's delightful. I mean, it's three completely different movements, but every one of them in the great Baroque career, you feel like, here's a harpsichord moment, and then, you know, here's an organ moment. It's just terrific, and the oboe parts are just insane. They're great.
Insane because?
Difficulty. There's so much black, and... But Tess, you know, I just came from rehearsal, and Tess sounds like $1 million. I mean, it's going to be great.
Tess, most people who follow music around here know Tess Elaplane.
Sure.
You have a faculty. Cheryl Denise Uricki, who is the other oboist. You could say
Weffler is what now. She goes by Denise Weffler now.
Oh, okay.
Married name, right.
Oh, Uricki Weffler, right.
Right.
She literally wrote the book on oboe playing.
A couple of them, actually.
Yeah.
That's right. She did. Now, she's a terrific author, and everybody goes after her to make their reeds. She's a custom reed maker, not only to oboe, but English horn, and she's written the book on that as well. So, yeah, she's I don't know. I don't even have a good word to describe her because she does so many things well. But, you know, great player, author, reed maker, plays in all these different ensembles in Oregon, mm-hmm. Teaches, college professor. I mean, she just does everything.
Then there's some Aaron Copland, Down a Country Lane.
Ben Chamberlain's going to come out and do that. We're calling it our sorbet moment between the oboes, you know, just kind of cleanse the upper palate. But you can't beat Copland. We needed something lighter, more beautiful, more tonal, you know, more melodic in this show because of how big the beginning and the end are. So that's why that's there.
Then they're back to oboe, Piazzolla. And something rather later for him, 1982.
Right, 10 years before he died.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's the tango master,
right,
as we all know. But, you know, Oblivion has become his big hit. Everybody knows Oblivion because it's a stunning piece. And, of course, you know, nobody in South America is bigger in the tango world than Piazzolla.
And so that's a fun piece to play, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's just gorgeous. It's marching. I call it the red hot tango. I mean, that's kind of the descriptor I have. It's the dancer. It's like Dancing with the Stars in their red dress, and the guy in the tuxedo, and it's
right,
formal but fun and very close and very intimate, and it's hot. I mean, it you can't touch it with asbestos gloves kind of piece. Yeah, it's really neat.
And then you end with what I think is one of the most haunting pieces of music I've ever associated with a film, and that's the music from On the Waterfront. Marlon
right.
Brando, a very sad, sad movie.
Very sad. Well, it's about union violence and corruption among longshoremen in New York, and
what could have been, and
all that.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, Brando delivers this incredible performance in it. I mean, and that's an all-star cast too: Carl Malden, Lee J. Cobb, Rod Steiger, Eva Marie Saint, 8 Academy Awards for that film. I mean, you know, it's just off the charts for 1954.
And then, of course, the music by Leonard Bernstein.
Right, the only movie score I ever wrote.
And it's
and they had
just,
to talk him into it.
Yeah.
You know, he turned it down the first time.
But it fits so well.
It's incredible. I mean, it's Bernstein, of course, and it's incredible music. And we finally got a version for the wind band just this past year, or just this past spring, actually. So we were just so thrilled that Jay Bocook took on that challenge. But I'm not kidding you. You don't miss the strings. It's that good. I mean, it's the best thing Jay's ever done, in my view. It's ridiculously good.
The University of Arkansas Symphonic Band and the U of A Wind Symphony will perform Monday night at 7:30 at Walton Arts Center. The concerts are the final performances of the semester for the ensembles. I talked with W. Dale Warren earlier this week inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio at KUAF.
It's the scandal that proves the military intelligence complex is just like high school for belligerent people. Sexy emails, beautiful biographers, party planners with diplomatic immunity. Why Hurricane Sandy got so upset about being pushed out of the news, it started sleeping with its biographer. I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for the news quiz from NPR.
Wait, don't tell me. Every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on KUAF 91.3 FM. We'll be right back.